The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come, lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet, she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in her fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Short idea on the readings and a word or two on the saint that we celebrate today. Okay, the cloud of witnesses. What does that mean? Cloud of not Jehovah Witnesses, but cloud of witnesses, okay? Okay, those are the saints. Those are the saints. In the past week we've been celebrating some pretty huge saints. And I'll just go through them quickly and pray to them. Who do we celebrate a week ago? St. Francis de Sales, right? He's the patron of writers and journalists. Model for bishops. He died when he was about 5 years younger than me. Not that old, right? He died in his late 50s, so in a relatively short time he did so much good. And he wrote two classics, Introduction to the Devout Life and The Greatest Treatise on Love Ever Written, and thousands of letters. Then we celebrate the most famous conversion in the history of the world, which would be conversion of St. Paul. And that means all of us have to be converted. Amen? Daily conversion. The day after that, how's your memory? Two of his spiritual sons, Timothy and Titus. In my Mass, I preached that St. Paul had sons. I thought he was a celibate priest and bishop, no? He didn't have biological sons, he had spiritual sons. As we as priests, we have spiritual sons. So I gave a 15 or 20 minute homily on that, no? Spiritual paternity and spiritual maternity. Then we have, do you remember? Angela Merici in La Brea. There's a church in honor of her. And she is the foundress of the Ursuline community. Foundress of nuns. Pray for nuns. Then the day after that we celebrated the greatest theologian in the world, and there's a very famous university in the Philippines, Santo Tomas, right? Did you graduate from Santo Tomas? I did, but in Rome, not in the Philippines, okay? The Angelicum. That, of course, was Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas, what a brilliant mind. You know, when he could be dictating to 4 to 5 secretaries at the same time. One topic, the Trinity, another of the sacraments, another one would be on the Fifth Commandment, another one would be on the Hail Mary, another one would be on ecclesiastical rule, the difference between church and state. Que cabeza, as they say in Spanish. What a brilliant mind, huh? And he died at 46 on the way to the Council of Lyons. Hmm? Now, the end of his life. Have you read his life? None of you have. Dalmax by G.K. Chesterton, okay? The end of his life, he was talking to Jesus on the cross, and Jesus said, Thomas, you have written well. What would you like? What would you ask for? $1 million. No, $5 million. And a new Maserati, huh? You'll be shocked to hear what he asked for. Franny said this, give me the grace to love you more and more each day. I love it, don't you? Why don't you ask for that after you receive Holy Communion? Wouldn't that be a good Thanksgiving prayer after Holy Communion? Hello? Do it today. I ask for that. Grace to love Jesus more and more each day. And today, I was talking to Father Larry about this great saint. Probably the most gifted saint in the history of the Catholic Church. When I'm saying gifted, everything he did turned to gold. He probably, if we're living today, if he went to the Olympics, he probably won 3 gold medals. Really? He was a super athlete, he became a tailor, became a cobbler, He was a cook. He was a writer. He was a priest. He was a founder. He built some of the most beautiful churches in Europe. Our Lady Help of Christians in Turin, the sacred church of, any of you been to Rome? The beautiful church of the Sacred Heart in Rome, John Bosco. And he was brought up in dirt poverty. He lost his father when he was 2 years old. Dirt poverty. But these are, why I say this is because you have natural gifts. Don't be lazy. Here's a man who was brought up in utter poverty and he developed his talents to the max. But his greatest gift was this. He had three great loves. Three great loves. And I'll tell you what they were. He loved the Pope. He loved the Eucharist. And he loved Mary. That's why he was such a great saint. So a few people, none of you are going to be a John Bosco. Forget it. And you won't be. You don't have those talents. But we all can maybe imitate John Bosco in what I've said at the end of the homily. We can all try to love the Pope and the Church. Amen? We all have to try to love the Eucharist. That's why we're here, right? We all have to love Mary. Amen? Now all saints have different devotions. Our Lady of Perpetual Help of the Filipinos, right? La Virgen de Guadalupe, ¿no es cierto? Sí, Padre. And we as Americans would basically call Mary the Blessed Mother. That's the way the good old Americans call Mary, the Blessed Mother. John Bosco had a certain title for her. Any of you know? Our Lady Help of Christians. Our Lady Help of Christians. So let's pray for the grace that John Bosco will be our friend. But we'll start to talk to this. Remember the cloud of witnesses, not Jehovah Witnesses. I said cloud of witnesses. In that cloud are many saints, but one of the most brilliant stars in the firmament is the saint that we celebrate today. And probably if I were not an oblate, I would probably be a Salesian priest. I probably would be. Because I work a lot with young people, no? So let's pray that there will be more priests that will imitate. I call him the superstar priest. Let's pray that more priests will try to imitate this superstar priest. Not one star or three stars, but five stars. Amen.